Good evening. I'd like to say that it's really, really wonderful to see you all out on this Sunday evening. I think it's indicative of your desire to worship God and hear some things from His Word so that we can grow in His service. As always, I'm going to do my best to not present to you an opinion of mine or something that I think or feel, but the understanding I have of God's Word, and I want to keep everything that I say and do in accordance with His Word. And if you see any deviation from that, I would very much appreciate it if you point that out to me, because just as I'm sure you all want to be following God, I want to be doing the same, so any instruction in that direction would be greatly appreciated. Now, to start off with, I've got a semi-confession to make. I'm a pyromaniac. I've kind of grown out of it, but I think that's something you don't ever totally kick, from the time I was the smallest kid in Boy Scouts to when we used to live out on the farm. Whenever there was a fire around, I was always there. I wanted to play with it, wanted to see how to make it grow and burn more brightly. Like I said, I've kind of grown out of it, but not really. I'm just not around fire that much anymore. But like I said, I used to do what I could to make it grow and burn more brightly. And I think as Christians, we all need to have a little bit of that pyromaniac attitude to us. We need to do everything that we can to keep the fire that's burning for Jesus in us burning ever more brightly. So we need to always have that in mind, that we need to be growing and striving to serve God better. And as far as this goes, there's kind of two categories that Christians fit into, I think. There are young Christians, whether being young in physical age and young in Christian age, or who still have the fire burning really brightly in them, who haven't had all of the discouragement and heard all of the negative things, so the fire is still burning brightly in them. So we need to do what we can to keep the fire burning there. And the other category is those who have been Christians for a long time, or who are mature in the faith but have experienced so much discouragement that the flames have begun to dwindle a bit. So for those, we need to do what we can to rekindle those flames, get the fire back to where it once was. And as God has seen fit to give us everything that we need, with every fire, you know, there has to be fuel. There has to be something to be burned. So God has seen fit to give us the fuel that we need. And that's kind of what we're going to focus our study on tonight. We're going to be looking at the types of fuel that help keep us burning for God's Word. So the first fuel we're going to look at tonight is that of assembly. If you would turn in your Bible to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 24 and 25 there. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now there's two things that we want to look at here. In verse 24, it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. I don't know exactly who said this, but someone was speaking about this passage, said that this verse, when we're coming together to stimulate one another, it's kind of preparing us to take on the world. When we come together on the first day of the week, it's kind of a break from the world. We're beat up each day and torn down and discouraged throughout the week. But when we come together on Sunday, that's the time that we have to strengthen one another, to get each other going. In essence, thinking about burning to refill an empty tank of gas. So we come together to prepare each other to take on the world. And then in verse 25, the thought just kind of continues. It says, not forsaking our assembling, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So when we're coming together, we need to make an effort to we need to make an effort to fill each other's tanks up. We have to do everything that we can to encourage one another, not only to be better servants here when we're worshiping, but when we go back out into the world, we have to encourage one another to fight the good fight, you know, to take a stand for God and share his word with as many as we can and live as the best examples as we can of him. So when we come together, we need to remember and have these things in mind that we're supposed to be encouraging one another and helping one another serve God better. Another passage that goes along with this is 2 Corinthians. We'll look at the second chapter there, verses 5 through 8. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 5 through 8. Paul writes there, "But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much, to all of you. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him, lest somehow such one be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him." This is talking about when brethren fall into sin or become discouraged in things, that the guilt that we have associated with sins is more than punishment enough. But when we come together and we find out that others are having problems with things, it goes right along with what I said. We need to be there to build one another up. It says, reaffirm your love for him. So if a brethren falls into a fault, then we don't need to be just sitting back and saying, "Oh, I knew he wasn't going to be able to bear up under that stress," or, "Oh, how weak he was. I could have gotten through that with no problem." Because we don't understand where each other has their faults, where I might be excellent in something, some of you might have problems, or there might be something that gives me great difficulty that I struggle with every day, and some of you might have gotten past that many years ago. But we need to do everything that we can to let each other know that we do love each other, that we have the care that we need for one another, so that we can help each other grow as we need to. And this is, again, just adding more fuel to the fire. It's helping our flames burn more brightly and helping us serve God as effectively as possible. Another aspect that goes along with assembling, that goes back with the Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling. We need to make an effort every single time that there is study going on from the Bible to be there and be involved with it. The Bible is such, well, it's a big book to start with, so it's hard to get through all at once. But I've learned, I'm very blessed. I have a really strong ability for learning things and picking things up. And throughout school, even just the teeniest books that I had to read, I'd read through it once and think that I had picked everything up, and then we'd go into class and go back over it, and there were so many things that I missed. And the Bible's the same way, no matter how many times we go over it. Whenever there is study of the Bible, we can only benefit from it. So whenever the doors are open, if it's a Sunday morning Bible class or worship or Sunday evening worship or Wednesday evening Bible study or vacation Bible schools or lectureships or singings or meetings, we need to do everything in our power to be at every single assembly. I know that sometimes work just doesn't go along with that, but So I understand that it is difficult, with the example of a meeting, to be there every night sometimes. But we need to do everything that we can. We need to have in our mind that we're going to come together. I know for myself, and I think this is the way for everybody, when you go to a gospel meeting, or like this lectureship we just went to this last weekend, that just, like, if you're starting a charcoal fire to do some grilling out, to me, a meeting or a lectureship like that, that's just like taking a can of lighter fluid and just pouring it all over. The flames just jump right up. So we need to have in our mind that we're going to be, whenever the doors are open, we have to make an effort to be with one another so that we can encourage one another to serve God better. And another thing with that, when we're coming together, we need to... I think that there's like three things that kind of sum up how we should be to one another. We should be friendly, encouraging, and spiritually minded. As far as the friendliness, we need to, whenever we're talking to people, you know, go up and shake your hand, smile, say how you doing. And when you say how are you doing, we need to let each other know that we really do care. I mean, if someone does have a problem and they see fit to trust in you to tell you what that problem is, we shouldn't, you know, grimace or whatever. It's like, oh, I was going to go eat lunch, and now if you're telling me this problem, I'm not going to make it on time. You know, we need to have each other's concerns and welfare ahead of our own, because the way I look at it, when we're talking to one another, we need to be willing to bear each other's burdens, because I know I haven't experienced any huge problems that I need to unload on anybody, but I want to be there for people, as I know that if I did have a problem, that I could feel free coming to anybody and saying, I have this problem, it's driving me nuts. If you can't help me with it, can you at least listen? You know, we need to have that attitude about us that we do care for one another. And with the friendliness, the same thing goes for visitors. We need to make sure that we take the chance to introduce ourselves to them, smile, and let them know that we really care about them and we're really happy to see them. And I think we do a good job of that here. I'm just giving it as a reminder also. So we need to make an effort to be friendly when we're coming together. And we need to be encouraging to one another. We need to do everything that we can to help each other grow in Christ. I mean, that's all there is to it, whether it is just helping each other with problems or recounting something that really good happened spiritually to you this week. We need to share things with one another and do everything that is within our power to encourage one another. And the third thing with coming together, I think, is being spiritually minded. Like I said, when we come together, it's kind of a break from the world. So we need to make sure that we're not making church our hobby. You know, we need to be spiritually minded and working for God all 7 days of the week. So in that respect, we shouldn't look at Sunday as anything special. But when we come together, we need to, it's good to talk about things of a spiritual nature. I mean, I'm not saying that it's wrong to talk about who scored what points in a basketball game or how big a fish you caught out on the pond Saturday or whatever. But we need to make an effort to talk to one another about spiritual things. If we make an effort to talk to one another about spiritual things, for one, that's going to help strengthen your resolve for setting your mind on those things, and to those we're talking with, it will help center their minds on it as well. So anything that we can do to focus on spiritual things of God, like it says in Philippians 4, verse 8, whatever is pure, honorable, right, truthful, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. So any time that we can center our minds more on God's word and spiritual things, we're much better off, and that's just throwing another log on the fire. The second type of fuel we want to think about tonight is pray. If you would, turn to 2 Thessalonians, 5th chapter. Verse 17 says volumes, while only using two words to get it done. Okay, I believe that must be 1 Thessalonians. Right, okay, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Three simple words that say so much. Pray without ceasing. If we think about it, prayer is really the only way that we have to communicate with God. God knows everything, but praying, if we do it with the right set of mind, it'll help us focus our mind more on spiritual things. It'll just give us a stronger devotion to God. And through praying, if we make an effort, obviously God knows that we can't do it without ceasing. We can't pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all of the days of the year. But we need to have the mind that we're always thankful for everything that God has given us. We need to just constantly be thankful to God and asking God for help in overcoming our problems and giving us the strength that we need to make it through each day. If you would turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 18, this gives us a little more insight about how prayer can help us. This is coming after speaking of the armor of God, everything that God has given us that we need to overcome the obstacles and confrontations that Satan sends before us. And it says in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So this kind of goes back to encouraging one another as well. We're praying to God and focusing our minds, getting set to take on the battles, to make the confrontations and be successful. But we're not just praying about ourselves either. We need to make the effort to pray for others. It says, with perseverance and petition for all the saints. So we need to make an effort to go to, whenever we're going to God in prayer, to mention one another, to ask God to give each and every one of us the strength that we need to overcome the conflicts that we run into. And this will also help us be more mindful of one another. Everything here just builds on top of each other. If we're praying for one another, if we know someone is struggling, then if we're praying for them throughout the week, we'll come together on Sunday and remember, I've been praying for him for that. I want to go see how they're doing. You know, we'll be more mindful to go up and say, how are you doing with this problem? Is there anything else I can do to help? I'm praying for you about it. And that just, I know for me, whenever I have like a friend that's ill or something and I ask people to pray for them, if I told someone on one Sunday and then I come back the next Sunday and they said, I've been praying for your friend all week, how are they doing? That just means volumes to me. And that's not even me personally that's getting the prayer. So how much more of an encouragement would it be to one another if we have a problem and ask each other for prayers and let one another know that we are praying for them? So this gives encouragement and feeds the fire for two people. The person who is being prayed for gets the fuel added to their fire because they know that someone cares for them and is on their side trying to help them. And then we, as the one doing the praying, we get encouraged and our fire gets kicked up a couple of notches because we see the joy and thanksgiving that the person we're praying for has when they see that we care for them. And turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Verse 15 helps us have a better idea of how we need to pray. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 says, what is the outcome then? I shall pray with the Spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the Spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. This kind of, I think, illustrates how praying specifically, but worshiping God in general, helps focus us and strengthen us and get the flames burning ever more brightly. Because if we just come together and we sing and do like you do in your music class when you're in school, you know, you're just watching the clock, trying to go through the notes and try and get out as soon as you can, you're not going to get anything out of it. But if when we come into service and we get into the singing, we sing with our hearts in it, we read the words and feel them in the spirit and in our mind also, then we're going to be so uplifted and encouraged. And the same thing goes with when we're praying. If we only pray half-heartedly, if we're just talking to be heard, kind of like the parable with the Pharisee and the publican, we need to be the publican there, just telling God, making it known to God that we are humbling ourselves. We know that we are not worthy at all. Unlike the Pharisee, who is just up there praying at the top of his voice, saying, "Look at me, God, I'm wonderful." We need to have the humble attitude. We need to have our heart, mind, and spirit in it in order to do it effectively. And as with anything that we do for serving God, the more we do it, the better we become at it. So that's where that ties in the First Thessalonians a little better even. When we pray without ceasing, when we pray every opportunity that we have, it just helps us focus our minds ever more clearly, and we will serve God even better if we're focused. And kind of another analogy with the fire, to look at how focusing helps us become better servants, it's kind of like gasoline or something that you're burning, or coal maybe. If you've got something that has a lot of impurities, then it doesn't burn very brightly or very strongly. But if something is very pure, if we have a pure fuel source, it'll burn more efficiently and more brightly, and it'll produce much more heat. And that's the same thing with everything that we do in serving God. If we have more focus, if we're more intent on serving God, then we'll become better at it, we'll encourage more with it, and we'll have a stronger desire to grow. So through praying and our speaking to God, we have a wonderful fuel source to help keep our flames burning. A third fuel that we want to look at is studying God's Word. This is kind of the flip side of the coin, whereas praying is our form of communication to God, studying God's Bible is, the way I look at it, His answer to our prayers. I'm a firm believer that if we pray for something, if we have a problem with something, then God's going to answer our prayer in one way or another. And the best thing that I can think of, if we have a problem, turn to God's Word and turn to one another. If we're praying sincerely, then in one way or another, God's going to get His message to us. Whether we ask someone, say, "I have a problem with this," they could almost definitely tell us, "Well, have you read this passage? That's helped me a lot with that." Or if we're reading sometimes, I know God doesn't open the page for us, but if we have the sincere devotion to studying that we need to, we'll come across an answer to our problems. So if we look at studying as God's communication to us, that should be an immense fuel to feed our fire. If you would turn to Acts, the 17th chapter, this kind of, I think, gives a sense of how important studying God's Word should be. In Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 10 and 11, it's talking about Paul and Silas and their journeys. And beginning in verse 10, it says, "And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Now, I personally think there are two reasons that the Bereans were noted as being more noble than the Thessalonians. One that I think is always presented is that they're examining the scriptures to see if the things that Paul and Silas were teaching were so. So they made the effort to turn to God's word to see that everything was in accordance with what he had said. But I think something that's more important than studying, but just as important, that's sometimes overlooked, is that it says they received the word with great eagerness. So it wasn't something like, oh, okay, well, we have to check this out to see if they're teaching correctly. It's like, no, they had a desire to turn to the word and make sure that everything was in accordance with God's word. So they had a desire to study God's word, and for this reason, I think, they were more noble-minded. So I think that gives us an indication of how important God thinks that study should be. If you would turn over to 1 Peter, the second chapter. We have an indication of how our attitude needs to be towards studying. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 2, well, we'll go ahead and read in verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. We need to long for the word. It says, like newborn babes, long for milk. As children in Christ, we need to have the same desire for God's word as babies do for their food. I know I've seen this with Connor most recently, but all of the babies that I've known, if a baby gets set on their feeding pattern, and as soon as you're a couple minutes late on that feeding, they let you know about it. They're very sincere. They'll start to cry and just let you know very clearly that they've missed their food. And we need to have the same attitude as Christians when we're going throughout the week. We should be missing one another. We should be missing assembling together and being able to worship and study from God's word. So we need to make an effort to study God's word. And I think that if we're studying God's word sincerely, one of two things will most likely happen. If we're going through, like I said, there's always things that we can learn. We might come across something that we hadn't noticed before. I know I'm doing this all the time. Just little things that make a really big difference. If we're going through and sincerely studying, we might see something that we hadn't quite thought about before, but we might recognize that we're doing something wrong in our life. And if we're studying as sincerely as possible, then we'll have the desire that we'll want to fix it. We'll want to keep everything in accordance with God's word. But along with that also, I know I was like this a lot in school, and I know there are a lot of people who aren't like this because they just don't like school, period. But when I was in school, I read incessantly. I read all the time. That's all I did. When we first moved to Brookville, I didn't have any friends, so what I'd do, I'd ride my bike to the library and just read. I probably read half the books in the kids section that summer. But I had just an insatiable desire to learn anything. My head is full of useless facts about bugs and lizards and weather and rocks and everything. And as Christians, we need to have that same desire to learn about God's word. But there's nothing useless in God's word. Whereas I have my head full of these useless facts about different types of rocks and different breeds of lizards, I was, in a sense, wasting my time. I'm a great Trivial Pursuit player because of that. But with God's word, there is not a thing in here that is worthless. I know a lot of times people will look down on people studying the Old Testament, but I believe it's 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. If you would turn over there. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. In the verses preceding this, it's talking about all of the things that Israel went through. All of the grumblings they had, all of the problems that they ran into. It said, "Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." So, and in verse 6, it also ties in with that. It says, "Now these things happened as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also crave." So whether it's studying the New Testament, learning how we need to better worship Christ and be better servants of God, or studying the Old Testament to see where the Israelites fell short of serving God and learning from their example so we don't have to go through the same things. No matter what we're doing when we're studying God's Word, we can only benefit from it. And I think that if we go into it with a sincere heart, then when we learn things, we'll be encouraged to learn even more. So, in a sense, studying it with all the talk of renewable energy sources now, with solar power and water power, studying, I look in that sense as a renewable energy source, because it just feeds itself. The more we do it, the more we should want to. And along with this, I think that sometimes talking about studying, I'm not just talking about individual study. I mean, that is really wonderful. But in other things, I've learned that you don't get as much out if you're the only one doing it. I've taught myself how to play guitar, and I've been playing for 5 or 6 years now. And I'm okay, but I'm not really all that great. But there have been a couple times when I've got together with other people, and they probably don't know too much either, but they know something different than I do. They have a different angle on it. So when we're together, we can pick up a lot more. We grow a lot faster. And the same thing is true of God's Word. Whether we're studying with Christians, whether they be new Christians or Christians who have been in the church for longer than I've been alive, everyone has a slightly different angle on things. Everyone has a slightly different perspective. So if we make the effort to study together, we'll grow even more and learn more that we need to. And I think also we can gain a lot from studying with non-Christians. If we make the effort to talk to people and just go back over basic passages that we all should know, we'll learn more about them. We'll gain a better understanding and be better able to study with non-Christians in that respect. So as we're thinking about things tonight, we need to remember that the fire within us just needs to be burning ever more brightly. And there are the three main things that God has given us for fuel. We have to assemble with one another, we have to pray to God, and we have to study from His Word. And if we're taking part in all of these things, then we will grow. If we make the effort, then we will grow and be the Christians that we need to. If you would turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter, going to be the last passage we look at tonight, verses 14 through 16 kind of gives us an idea of how important it is to have the fire burning within us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking here in verse 14 of chapter 5. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So as we're going about our daily business, we need to remember that we have to have the fire burning within us. Because no matter where we're at, we're being an example. And we want to be the best example as possible. And if you think about it, the analogy with the fire and the light set on the hill, or if you think about a lighthouse, if that flame's just barely burning, doesn't do anybody any good. They can't see anything. So if we make the effort to have the fire burning brightly within us, that light is just going to shine. It's going to reach further than we could imagine, and we can do so much just by living our lives rightly. So if we make the effort to have the fire burning within us, be the example that we need to, then we'll help other Christians to grow and have their fires burn more brightly, and we can encourage non-Christians to come to God, to begin to serve Him. They'll wonder why we're so on fire. And like I said, it does take effort. We have to work at these things. We have to make an effort to come together. We have to make an effort to pray. We have to set aside time and make an effort to study. But it's all worth it. Again, looking at the fire analogy, if you have a big campfire, in the center of the fire, it's just glowing. It's really bright and strong. But if you look around the edges of the fire, there's coals there that have either started to go out or have gone out completely. And we need to make sure that as Christians, we're not just sitting on the edges of the fire and our flames are going out. We need to make the effort to work harder to keep ourselves in the center of the fire, to be working to do everything that we can to encourage one another and do God's will. And something that I heard this weekend at the lectures just really kind of brought it all together. And I have a problem with this. I'm not doing this as much as I need to. There's a brother who preaches at Temple Terrace named Don Trix. We've heard a lot about him from Joe Gladwell from time to time, and I finally got to hear him, and he has some excellent things to say. But a point that he made was that serving God and serving Christ should be our passion, not our pastime. Like I said, we can't just come together and serve God on Sunday and just live in the world the rest of the week. We have to have our hearts in it at all times. We have to be serving God as much as we can all week long. So if you just keep that in mind, that it has to be a passion. And that goes along with the fire, because a passion, I think of something as burning. It's a burning desire for something. So if we have the passion for serving God's will and don't look at it as a pastime, then we'll be doing much better. Now, if you would go ahead and get your songbooks out and open up your songbooks to the selected song, the title says more than I could say. It just says, "Is thy heart right with God?" You need to ask yourself that question tonight. Are you doing everything that you can to have the flame burning brightly in you? Are you making the effort daily to serve God better? But just ask yourself, is thy heart right with God?